intensive negotiations continue at the United Nations today, with American and British diplomats working hard to craft a Security Council resolution that would attempt to force the disarmament of Iraq. President Bush has warned repeatedly that the United States is ready to move independently against Iraq's President Saddam Hussein if the Security Council fails to endorse a tough stand. U.S. military leaders hope the diplomatic efforts succeed. NPR's Tom Jeldom reports a war without U.N. approval could be a more challenging operation.
The Bush administration is essentially telling other Security Council members that they should either support the U.S. and British-led effort to go after Saddam Hussein or stand aside. Secretary of State Colin Powell drove that message home yesterday during a news conference at the State Department.
If the United Nations chooses not to act, the president has what he believes is the authority needed and, frankly, the obligation to act with like-minded nations to disarm Iraq.
But a UN-endorsed operation against Iraq would have broader support than one organized just by the United States and Britain. And U.S. military commanders have made it known that in this case, broader is much better. A senior military officer in a key Pentagon position tells NPR that with respect to Iraq, the main concern of the uniformed military leadership has always been that the United States not go it alone. Even as Colin Powell was saying yesterday, the United States could go after Iraq without Security Council support. The man who would lead the charge, Army General Tommy Franks, was saying he'd be more comfortable having that UN endorsement.
The best case for us is to be able to build our force list, our coalition, based on work by the Security Council within their charter.
At stake here is whether other governments authorize U.S. pilots to fly over their territory during bombing or refueling missions. The American military would also need, if possible, to have access to ports and bases and airfields in countries near Iraq. There are alternatives. Fighter jets can fly off aircraft carriers in the open sea, and long-range bombers can come from bases thousands of miles away. But in the first Gulf War and in operations in Kosovo and Afghanistan, the United States worked hard to get other governments to cooperate. In an interview with NPR, General John Jumper, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says he'd expect a similar effort if there's to be action against Iraq.
It's easier for us access-wise, of course, if you do have fields that are in close proximity to where you're going to operate. And while we, quite frankly, have never had a problem with things up close when the coalition comes together, we've always been granted the access that we needed. It is desirable to have things closer.
Without a United Nations resolution, it's not clear how much support the United States could count on. Retired Marine General Joseph Hoare worked with many Middle Eastern governments as head of the U.S. military's Central Command in the mid-1990s. He lists three countries whose enthusiasm for an Iraq operation could depend heavily on the Security Council's action: Turkey, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia has been an enormous coalition partner for us in the past, going back for some 50 years. And the Saudis need the top cover of a UN resolution, and so it's going to be very difficult for them to provide wholehearted support without the UN resolution.
The governments of Turkey and Jordan, Hoare argues, would also face political problems at home were they to support a war against Iraq without UN approval. Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar would be likely to help with or without a UN endorsement. Beyond that, it's not clear, not even to General Franks, the current head of the U.S. Central Command.
In terms of how many nations would join the coalition, I don't know. I will say that my sense, visiting the region, and I mentioned that I just come back, my sense is that we have a great many friends, partners, and allies who see the situation the same way we do, and I'll leave it at that.
In fact, with their carrier-based aircraft, their long-range bombers, and the military bases to which they already have access, U.S. military commanders almost certainly have what they need in the short run to carry out a successful mission in Iraq with or without more international support. But that still leaves the long-term mission. It's the aftermath of an Iraq operation, the stabilization and rebuilding work that most concerns retired General Hoare.
Without the UN, without the support of, really, of the world community, I fear that we're going to be left to carry out the lion's share of the post-hostilities work. We can do the military victory on our own, but we cannot get the end state that we need on our own without huge expenditure of time and money and people.
The U.S. military is already tied down with the demands of the war on terrorism and the need to defend the U.S. homeland. A lengthy and costly mission in Iraq, undertaken without broad international support, would undoubtedly strain the force even more, which is why U.S. military leaders hope for success in the negotiations at U.N. headquarters. Tom Gelton, NPR News, The Pentagon.